Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen. We thank the Lord that we can praise Him now and forevermore. I'm so thankful that you're here today, that we can gather together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And what a blessing it is to look forward to this week that we call the Passion Week. We see all of the events in the life of the Lord Jesus and His ministry leading up to this week. And what a crucial week it was as He came into the city on this Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, and had so many cheers and so many that were lifting their voice and waving palm branches. And then, as Brother Michael said, just a few days later, that that crowd changed their chant to crucify Him. But we understand why Jesus took the applause on that Sunday and why He took the nails and the crown and the cross on Friday. And we thank God that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to take your Bibles this morning as we turn to the book of Malachi and finish on this particular Sunday, this Palm Sunday, our looking at the book of Malachi, this prophet who spoke to the people a word reminding them of how valuable God is, how much God is worth, how much God should be worth to them in their tithes, in their serving, in their homes, in their worship, in all parts of their life, and comes to this last passage of Scripture to remind the people that in these days, in these last days, that God should be worth everything, that we should give everything to Him, that we should lay everything before Him, that we should give God everything. And as we saw last week, and as we've seen in other passages, God promises to bless us. He promises to be with us and give us a song to sing and give us joy in our serving and to return blessings to us when we lay things down at His feet. And this passage is certainly no different, that God promises those wonderful blessings to us if we would just simply give Him everything. And I love what a little girl said one time. She was trying to describe an elevator. And I think it's appropriate when you think about the blessings of God. She said, you step into this little room and the upstairs comes down. And when you think about an elevator, you know, that's kind of what happens. Well, when you think about putting your life in the hands of God, and you think about putting your life with the Lordship of Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life, it is like the glory of heaven comes down to you. You step into Christ, and all of those blessings just simply come down. Now, sometimes we don't see all of those blessings. Sometimes we don't realize all of them. Sometimes they're not necessarily things we can put in our pocket or our bank account or in our house, but they are things that we can put in our heart. They're things that will encourage us in our journey ahead. And as we look at this passage and we reflect on Palm Sunday and the week of Passion, of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and put all of those themes together in this one message, we need to remember that God is worth everything that we have. Why? Because He gave everything to those who deserve nothing. And in response to that, we should be willing to give Him all that we have. So let's look in Malachi chapter 4. Again, as we finish up this passage of Scripture, this book that we've been looking at the last several weeks, the book of Malachi, beginning in verse 1 in chapter 4, the Bible says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant, all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This passage sums up really everything we've looked at, because the Bible says that we are going to have to give an account of all things that we've done in the body. And the Bible reminds us in Malachi chapter 4 that that day is coming. That day is coming when the difference will be obvious between those who gave God everything because they received everything from Him, and those who rejected God and gave Him nothing because they did not want the very thing that God was giving to them. The Bible says that day is coming, and you're going to notice those who gave God all in their giving, all in their serving, all in their worship, and all in their homes, and those who gave God nothing of their time, nothing of their talents, nothing of their income, nothing of their hearts. That day is coming. And to warn us of that day, God is sending us prophets like Malachi, like John the Baptist, like Elijah, to say, this day is coming. So there's two things in this passage of Scripture that the Bible warns us to recognize that we cannot ignore. First of all, the Bible teaches us that the respect, that means the respect we have from God, leads us to righteousness. The respect and the fear and the admiration that we have of God leads us to righteousness. How so? Well, you notice in verse 1 that again the Bible says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter that day will come like a thief in the night. Jesus taught so many parables about that day, taught so many things about how we should be ready and how we should be anticipating that day. God sent so many prophets to teach that this is going to happen if you don't repent. This is going to happen if you don't recognize the will and the word of God. So many times in our life, God sends us these waves of conviction and these waves of recognition, and all of these things come to us to say, this day is coming, this thing is coming, this time is coming. You must recognize it now. And this day that the Bible is speaking of in Malachi chapter 4 is not a day when it's just going to be warm outside. I know some of us look forward to those days. We complain during the winter because we want the sun to come out. Then we have one or two days here in South Louisiana where it's nice. The sun is out, the sky is blue, the temperature's not too high, and the grass is green. And then just like that, sometimes on the same day, you have to turn the heat back on. And then the next day, you have to turn the air conditioner on. Then the next day, we're complaining because it's hot. You see, sometimes people lose perspective. Sometimes we want what we want, and then when we get what we want, we realize we didn't really want it to begin with. And so the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that this day that is coming is not just going to be a little different than what you've experienced before. Oh, I mean, it's not going to be just, okay, well, I want it a little bit more this way or a little bit more. No, listen to what the Bible says. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant, all the evildoers will be stubble. That day that is coming will set them ablaze so that it will neither leave root nor branch. All through the Scripture, God gives us words of warning. We realize when Jesus came in to that city, Jerusalem, on Palm Sunday, and so many were waving their palm branches, and they were saying, Hosanna, save us, what that word means. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, they were having a great time. They were celebrating, and they saw Jesus riding in on a donkey. You know, many great kings would come into a city, and they would declare themselves worthy by sitting up on a high horse, and they would march into that city, and they would get so much pomp and circumstance, you know, that Jesus came in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on a donkey to show his humility. But so many years before Jesus had that grand entrance into the city of Jerusalem, there was one that came that gave them a word of warning to say, when that day comes, when this great Messiah comes, you need to be ready. You remember John the Baptist? If you will, turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 3. It's just a few books to the right. Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist comes, and he's weird. He eats weird things. He smells funny. He dresses a little unusual. But he has a message from God. And he says to the people, get ready. He tells them this message, if you notice in Luke chapter 3, verse 9. He says, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. John the Baptist was giving a word of warning. Before Jesus' ministry ever began, before he ever stepped foot into Jerusalem, before he ever went into a synagogue, before Jesus ever sat on a hill and did some teaching, long before, John the Baptist said, you better get ready, because he's coming. And any tree that is not faithful to bear good fruit is going to be cut down. Now, where have we heard something like that before? Malachi chapter 4. And so John the Baptist is consistently teaching and preaching the Word of God leading up to this moment where Jesus marches into the city, and all of a sudden, in just a few short days, people are going to have a decision to make. John the Baptist went on to say in Luke chapter 3, if you notice in verse 16, he said, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Friends, I'm telling you today, this week of Passion that we celebrate the life and the ministry and the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus is not just another story. It's not just making great television and great movies. This is what life is all about. It is a decision that we have to make. What will we do with Jesus Christ? Will we celebrate him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give him everything, or will we reject all that he has to offer and be burned with an unquenchable fire? You see, on this day, this Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode in and he heard all of these great accolades and he heard and received all of this great worship, he did a little teaching. And he taught, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 19 on your way back to Malachi, back to the left, Matthew chapter 19, or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 19. Just want you to get familiar with your Bible this morning. Luke chapter 19, Jesus did a little teaching on this day. And he rode into the city and he received all this worship, but then he did a little teaching. And before he did the teaching, listen to his cry. In Luke 19, verse 41, the Bible says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would you that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace? But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon you, another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Friend, we might look at this passage of Scripture and say, how mean that Jesus would say that destruction is coming upon this city because they didn't realize he was coming. They have had generations of prophets to say, this day is coming. And I'm telling you today, we are in the last days. I can guarantee you this, Jesus is closer to coming today than he was yesterday. You can write that down. You can say, my pastor, he's a prophet. Boy, he told us something good today. I guarantee you, if Jesus tarries and gives us tomorrow, it'll be one day closer tomorrow. You don't have time to fool around. You don't have time to waste. I know that you are 1 minute closer to death now than you were a minute ago. There's no question in my mind. That every one of us has a decision to make about what we will do with Jesus Christ. And somebody say, now listen now, you don't have to scare me. I've already given my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I've already been saved. But friend, what is the book of Malachi all about? It is not so much about salvation as it is about sanctification. About those of us that have given our lives to Jesus Christ. But the question is, how faithfully are we following Him? How much are we giving of ourselves? How much love, how much is God worth to you? And so this word of warning comes to those that need to be saved and those that are already saved. This weeping that Jesus is doing is for those that belong to Him as well as those who do not. So the day of salvation is today for you if you've never been saved, but the day of sanctification for you and your family and for our church and for this nation and for all those across the world who call themselves Christians is today. One day, we are going to die. And one day we will have to give an account to everything we've done in the body. And one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the pastor was preaching about that to a church, to his church. He said, congregation, one day you're all going to die. One day, every member of this congregation, you're going to die. I'm telling you, one day we're going to die. And there was a guy sitting on the front row just laughing his head off. The pastor had to stop. He said, sir, what's so funny? The guy said, I'm not a member of this congregation. And we sometimes treat God like that. Hey, listen, it may be bad for everybody else. It's not going to be bad for me. You go back to Malachi chapter 4, there's only two options, friends. It is either that we belong to the Lord and have given Him everything that we have, or we will be separated from God with that unquenchable fire. He says in verse 2, but for you who fear my name, in Malachi chapter 4, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. That's exactly the way that our lives should be now and should be forever. How much is God worth? He is worth everything. And we should be faithful to not only respect the Lord, but be faithful to be led to righteousness. The second thing this passage of Scripture teaches us in the book of Malachi is not only does respect lead to righteousness, but remembering leads to repentance. Yeah, there may be some things today that God, through a word of prophecy, through a word that He is speaking to you today, right into your heart, right into your life, God is saying to you, you need to remember my word, and you need to be faithful to repent. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 4. He says to the people, remember the law of Moses, the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Now, the word of God given to God's people is sometimes quickly forgotten. Sometimes we can memorize it, we can know it, we can remember it, we can be told it. But then in a situation where we need to apply it, all of a sudden we forget it. God's people learned this as they marched through the wilderness for 40 years, and God had given them His word. And there were times that they forgot. There was time that Moses died and gave the ministry over to Joshua and said to Joshua, listen, you lead these people. And God led Joshua as Joshua led the people. And all through the book of Joshua, you see the conquering of this city and the conquering of that city. And then the people would forget and they wouldn't have victory. And then they would remember and then they would. And Joshua said in chapter 24, in that great book, he said, this is a day of remembering. He said, if it's more desirable for you to go back from where we came from and worship, this is the revised version, if it's more desirable to go back and worship all those other things back in Egypt, then just turn around and go. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. And the people said, we'll serve God. We will serve the Lord. We'll remember His word. We're with you, Joshua. Judges chapter 1 and Judges chapter 2, the very next book in the Old Testament, says that whole generation served God so long as Joshua was alive. But the very next generation after Joshua died, they began doing what they wanted to do, what was right in their own eyes, and they turned their back on the Word of God. Can I just tell you, it only takes one generation in a country, in a church, and in a house. It takes one generation to turn their back on the Word of God before ungodliness is everywhere. In a country, in a church, and in a house. It only takes one generation of children that are not raised in the fear and the admiration and admonition of the Lord. It only takes one generation of children that drift away from the teaching, the faithful teaching in the church, and the faithful teaching of the Word of God, and the respect and the fear of the Lord. That's why we need to take our children when they're just little bitty. And we need to lead them to hide God's Word in their heart, to have it planted in their heart. We need to take young families. And we need to say to young families, raise these children to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise them to know what God's Word says, so that as the Holy Spirit brings conviction on their life, and as they see the things of God lived out, their faith will grow and their hearts will be transformed, and they will give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It only takes one generation to say, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to remember God's Word. I want to do what I want to do. It only takes one. So how do you know that? Look in Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5, the Bible says, behold, I will send you a prophet, Elijah, before the great awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Why would God say that in the last few verses in Malachi? Because he's seen it time and time again. Though the prophet comes, though the word is delivered, though the message is given, there is a generation that turns their back on God, and their children are raised in ungodliness and unrighteousness. And the Bible says, I'm going to send them another prophet. Don't you know how faithful God is? Wouldn't God be faithful to just say, all right, you want to be that way? Fine. You don't want to raise your children to know the Word of God? Okay. Not God. Not the one true and living God who is sovereign over all creation. He doesn't just wipe his hands and wash his hands and turn his back. He said, I'm going to send them another one. And if they don't listen to him and they kill him, I'm going to send them another one. Friend, don't shoot the messenger today. But sometimes God puts people in our life to say, I'm sending you this person to preach this message or to share this word because you are dangerously close to losing the next generation. And we need the hearts of fathers turned back to their children. We need the hearts of children turned back to their fathers. We need homes to be Christ-centered. And we need God to rule and to reign. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 23. As Jesus taught again that day and those days leading after this Palm Sunday, this crucial time in the life and the ministry of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, as Jesus taught. And by the way, when God's Word says that he will send Elijah before the great day, Malachi had already seen Elijah come and gone. He was already gone. His ministry was over. Jesus reminded the people that this Elijah that Malachi was speaking of is John the Baptist. He has that spirit, that fire, that word of prophecy for the people. Well, here's Jesus with that same burden, that same passion, that same fire. If you'll notice in verse 29, Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees and the hypocrites, you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. You know, those people like Elijah, like those great prophets that came and gave a word of God. He said, oh, no, no, no. We wouldn't have shed their blood. We wouldn't have killed. We would have listened to them. You know those great prophets you sent us. Jesus said in verse 31, "Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of the innocent Abel to the son of Zechariah, the son of Barachiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." It only takes one. You want your sons and daughters to be that generation? Do you want your sons and daughters to be that unfaithful generation because you were unfaithful to invest in them? Now listen, as I've raised and as we are in the process of raising our three children, I realize that some of you have been so faithful to invest in your children, to raise them in godliness and righteousness, and for whatever reason along the way, they've turned their back on the things of God. We need to be faithful to do what God has called us and equipped us to do, and then trust that if they have that time where they go away from the things of God or from the church or from being faithful to God, that God will grip their heart like that prodigal son and bring them back. You notice Malachi gave a two-way prophecy. He said, "I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, but I'm also going to turn the children back to the hearts of their fathers." How many of you have been so faithful to raise your children and your children have turned their hearts away from you? Friend, hold on to that Bible verse and say, "God, in these last days, I pray that your Holy Spirit moves in such a great way that I pray for my children like I never have before, that I invest in them like I never have before, and my children, my grandchildren, all those people that God put around. God, I want to invest in them. But God, if there's one that's gone away, may through the power of your Holy Spirit, you turn them back. Not just turn them back to me, but ultimately turn them back to you." Just like a mother who sent her son away to college. And she told another friend, she said, "You know, I know that my son's going to write me while he's in college." And her friend said, "You're crazy. He's gone off to college. He's not going to remember you. He's not going to write you. He's going to act like you've fallen off the face of the earth." She said, No. I know exactly what I'm going to do. She said, "I'm going to write him a card, and I'm going to say in that card, 'Dear son, I love you very much. Here's just a little extra help for you in your first few days and months of college. Here is a check for $1,000. She said, "I'm going to give him that card." Her friend said, "How in the world is that going to make him write you and stay in touch with you?" She said, "I'm not going to put the check in the envelope." Some of us have written a card to our children, promising what we want to do, promising what we're going to do, promising what we're going to invest in them, and they open it and there's nothing. We think, "Well, I sent the card. I had the best intentions in the world, but there's no spiritual investment whatsoever." Friend, maybe God needs your heart to turn back to your children. Maybe your children's heart needs to turn back to you. Whatever it is, just remember the Word of God and be faithful to it. Because remembering leads to repentance. In the 1930s in Russia, Stalin had ordered that all Bibles be confiscated and put in a warehouse. And he had all these Bibles, and he began to persecute Christians and had all these Bibles stacked up and in books and in boxes and all of that. When the USSR was no more, a missions group in 1994 went back into Russia. And they were trying to get the Word of God out, and they were trying to let people know about who Jesus was and begin to share the gospel, and they heard that there was this warehouse full of old Bibles that had been there since the 1930s. Somehow or other, they were able to gain permission to go into that warehouse to seize those Bibles, to get them back and to distribute them. Well, there were thousands upon thousands of boxes of Bibles. So they hired some local Russian men to help to get those Bibles off the shelves and to clean them off and get them ready for distribution. And one of these Russian men was a complete agnostic, just hated God, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in anything about the Bible, but he wanted to get paid. So he signed up to help. In 1994, this young man went into this warehouse to help with many, many other Russian men to help. And all these guys are bringing all these Bibles out, and all of a sudden, this young man, this agnostic, was nowhere to be found. So somebody went in, and they looked in the warehouse, and they found him in a corner crying, holding an old, worn-out Bible. And he found the Bible that used to belong to his grandmother. It had her signature on the front page, the same Bible that she was persecuted and killed for carrying. And he found that. And years later, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and now is a faithful part of sharing the Word of God in that same place. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when you remember the Word of God, your heart gets turned back to those who had a spiritual investment in you. When you remember the Word of God, your heart turns to those that God says, I want you to invest in them. I want you to remember them. Maybe there are some families here today and you say, you know what, Brother Randy, we've not been faithful. We've not been faithful at all. Oh, we come to church and we do the right things, but at home we're just different people. We don't have time for spiritual stuff. We don't have time to invest. Friend, Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven. Why? Because God gave everything that we might be saved, that we might be sanctified, that we might be part of His family, that we might belong to God. And in this week where we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we remember that God gave His very best and gave of His own Son. How many of us are willing to sacrifice and give everything for those that God is calling us to spiritually invest in? How many of us need to give our sin to God today and be saved and be born again, to be a new person, to stop holding on to your sin, holding on to bitterness, holding on to who you want to be, and bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus and give Him everything, so that those blessings of heaven can come down upon you? That's what God is calling us to respond to today. And whether it's you as an individual, whether it's your family, or whether it's us as a church, today we need to remember the Word of God, and today we need to honor God with our decision. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And after I pray, we're going to sing and have a time of invitation with our heads right now. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just want you to consider, what is God leading you to do today? How do you need to respond? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer as you let God speak to your heart and lead you. Our Heavenly Father, we love You so much. And we thank You, Father, that You are so faithful to give us prophets, to give us Your Word, to give us men and women and fathers and mothers and Sunday school teachers in our lives that invest in us and share Your Word with us. God, most of all, we're thankful that You gave Jesus Christ, Your one and only Son, that we might be saved, that we might grow in Christ's likeness. And God, today Your Holy Spirit is speaking to the hearts and lives of people in this place. And You have decisions that You've put in their hearts that they need to make today. God, give them the courage to stand up and to step out in this congregation to come and share their decision with us as a church. And we can celebrate what You're doing. We can thank You for how You're moving in their life. God, we love You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740 or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.